Just sharing a little bit of the Gospels. My reading has been in Matthew and Luke this week, and I'll share some from that. But in review, Jesus healed a woman, and she got up and was Simon's mother-in-law. She had been sick, and Jesus healed her, and it says she got up and began to minister to them. And it says they begged him to stay. And I understand that, as I'm sure you do. Nobody wants Jesus to leave, ever. You got a good thing going. If Jesus is in your house and he's healing people and eating at your table, who wants him to leave? Same thing with Peter. When Peter was about to go to the Gentiles, the Bible says he was at Joppa, and he was there for many days, and he had healed. Actually, he had raised a young girl from the dead, if you remember that story. So here's Peter in Joppa, and God's got an assignment for him in a new place. He's got to move. But who wants to leave that? The apostle is here. He raised somebody from the dead. You got good meetings going on. Please don't mess with this. And the Spirit appeared to Peter and says, there's something else for you to do that's over there. You can't stay here. Jesus said the same thing. I got to go to other cities also. He said, that's why I came. So we're just talking about movement and not getting stagnant. I want to read from Matthew 10 this morning, if you have your Bibles. And these are familiar passages probably to many of you. I'll read from Matthew 10 and then from Luke 10. Matthew 10, verse 1. This is Jesus identifying the disciples, the Bible says, whom he also named as apostles. But he's sending them out, okay? This is his first commissioning. He called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12. First Simon, who is Peter, his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. I'm sure there was purpose in that. A few chapters earlier in Luke's account, James and John wanted to burn up Samaria rather than go and heal them. So Jesus said, right now, let's just keep it among the brothers, okay? As you go, would you say that phrase with me? As you go, as you move, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons freely. Would you say that with me? Freely. Freely, Phil. You have received. Freely give. Do not. Okay, they're moving. They're on the move. And Jesus is giving them instructions on what not to take with them. You don't need this. Do not take any gold or silver or copper in your belts. Take no bag for the journey or extra tunic or sandals or a staff. For the worker is worth his keep. Interesting commissioning. I just want to remind you of the setting. This is before Jesus died and rose. It's before Pentecost and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. This is early in his ministry, early. Now Luke 10, if you would, if you want to turn to Luke 10, chapter 10, verse 1. Luke 10, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others, sent them out two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or a bag or sandals. Don't greet anybody on the road. When you enter a house, give it your peace. If a man of peace is there, it will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Verse 16, he who listens to you listens to me. He who rejects you rejects me. And he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. He replied, I saw it. I was watching. I saw this thing in the spirit. I saw it. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I've given you authority to trample on snakes, scorpions, to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. In other words, the reason to rejoice is what God's done for you, not what you do for him. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, this may be the only time the scripture uses that phrase, Jesus was full of joy watching all of this. And he said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father. No one knows who the Father is except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Then he turned to his disciples privately and said, Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see and didn't see it, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it. Could we just pull a few things from these passages to encourage us this morning to move, to obey God? Again, I just remind you that this is early on in the ministry of Jesus. He's willingly, pleasurably, generously sharing his authority, not just with the 12, but with this random group of 72. I'm not counting, but I'm guessing there's somewhere around 72 adults in this room. And he simply said, as you go, as you go. Interesting that they were sent to places where Jesus was going to come himself. Maybe we could simply say, wherever you go, he's coming. If you go in his name, and he sends you, and he opens a door, he gives you an opportunity, it simply means he's coming too. He's before you, and he's coming behind you. When you're sharing anything of the goodness of God, you're doing it in his name, and Jesus said, if they'll hear what you hear, what you say, they'll hear what I say. Proclaim and demonstrate the good news. Preach it, demonstrate it. The fact that you are sent is evidence that the kingdom is near. That's all he told them to say. He said, this is the message. When you go into a house, you tell them, the kingdom's right here at your doorstep. Never before seen or heard like this. The kingdom is right here. I'm here to tell you that. The kingdom is near. Thirdly, he said, freely you have received, freely give. If you've been healed, tell it. You've been delivered, share it. You've been pulled out of darkness, pray for somebody else. Free, you can only give what you have received. You can't give somebody else's story. I'm guessing that these 72, I'm just suggesting, that these 72 were probably people whom Jesus had touched very powerfully. If I'm looking at 72 adults this morning, there's a little bit of everything here. Not all of you have been healed physically. Some of you have been pulled out of darkness. Some of you have been delivered from various issues. But there's a little bit of everything. The command is, freely you've received, freely give. I don't think you all have to go out and raise the dead. But now, if you've been raised from the dead, go tell somebody, and you've got the faith to pray for somebody. If your life's been a mess because of some tragic abuse or something, and God's delivered you from that, just go tell that. There's somebody else out there waiting to hear that message. If you've been healed physically, there's somebody that needs faith to be healed physically. Go tell them. Just freely you've received, freely give. Number four, it's enough what Jesus has done for you. You don't need anything else. You don't need a ministry. You don't need a business card. You don't need to raise money. He said, what I've done for you is all you need. And if it's not enough, no matter what you add to it, will ever be enough. If what Christ has done for you isn't enough all by itself, then everything else you add to it won't matter. Freely you have received, just, come on, freely give. It's enough. You don't need an extra pair of shoes. He said, take your toothbrush and your pillow. That's all you need. That's it. Just move. Just go. Because I'm coming. And I want them to hear. I want them to be prepared. Remember, this is pre-resurrection. But there are lessons for us here. Number five, some will listen, some will not. It doesn't matter. Just move on. Some will listen, some won't. They're not rejecting you, they're rejecting him. Move on. Everybody's not going to like you. Everybody's not going to welcome you. Everybody's not going to think your testimony is really great. But some will. And if they receive you, it's the same as receiving him. And so they went, and they got pumped. They were pumped. The 72 returned. I'm going to suggest to you, this is just a suggestion, that this is a prophetic indication of the first church meeting and what it should be like. They came back all excited, and Jesus was right in their midst. They had victories and testimonies to share, and they were excited. But he tells them, here's what you should be happy about, that your names are written in heaven. It's what I've done for you that's the source of your gratitude. Peterson writes in his message, the great triumph is not in your authority over evil, but in God's authority over you and presence with you. It's not what you do for God, but what God does for you that is the agenda for rejoicing. Peterson said, the great triumph is not in your authority over evil. It's in God's authority over you and in you and with you. It's not what you do for God, but what he does for you that's the, he says, that's the agenda for your rejoicing. I don't think Jesus was trying to squelch their excitement. He just said, this is good. But he said, here's the source of your thanksgiving. It's what I have done for you. Because if you go out and you get rejected every time, you can still come back and give thanks. If for what God has done for you. And that never changes. Then he turns to the 12 and says, are you watching this? Are you paying attention? I've always thought it very strange that Jesus gave really no instructions about how life and church life should work. There's just not one piece of data on that subject. But he turns to the 12 and says, are you aware what is happening here? And that for the last thousands of years, kings and prophets and priests have longed to see what you see and didn't see it. Are you taking this in? What is happening here that these people you're watching, whom I've touched, are going out and they're going to change the world? So you see, it wasn't just the apostles who were sent. It was all of us. But he tells the 12, I'm wondering if the 12 didn't remember this when the Holy Spirit was poured out at Pentecost. And it gave them maybe some guidelines for how we're going to handle all of this stuff that's happening. Dean reminded us this morning as we were praying early before the meeting that the apostles didn't have a Bible. They didn't have a New Testament. They were living it. They had the Old Testament scriptures that were prophesying about all that was going to happen. And they were living it, recalling the words of Jesus. And so he's got these 72 people all pumped up. I mean, pretty pumped. If you've ever cast out a demon and watched a demonic force be subject to the name of Christ through you, it's pretty pumping. So all 72 of them are coming back and said, Lord, you wouldn't believe what happened. He said, yeah. He said, I saw it. I saw Satan through your ministry to these dear people whom I love. I was watching Satan be dethroned from his place of authority over these poor souls all these years. He said, I saw it. And he said, I got happy. Because this is the way my Father was pleased to make it happen. He says he hid these mysteries from learned and educated people. Scripture before that says Herod is trying to figure out what is going on. He's thinking John the Baptist has come back from the dead because he had him killed. But yet all the activity continues. And Jesus says, "You by your pleasure, Father, you just revealed them to all these plain people." And Jesus rejoices that in God's purpose and pleasure, he's hidden great kingdom truths from certain people and revealed them to simple certain people. Maybe it's a little indication of how things are supposed to work as the kingdom comes in fullness at resurrection and as the Spirit's poured out at Pentecost on everybody. But I thought it was interesting that he calls us and he says, just go. And he says, as you go, just tell people the kingdom's right here. It's available. It's near. Give what you've been given. Share it. Paul says in Corinthians, he's teaching, he says, are all workers of miracles? He says, I don't think so. But you can share your story and watch a life changed. You can proclaim that Christ is here because he is here. He's come to you. The kingdom is here. And what God has done for you is all you need. I'll quote Jackie Pullinger again. I did last week. Somewhat famous missionary. She's now in her 70s, a Brit, I think. Went to Hong Kong as a teenager. Just began to share the gospel. Has been there ever since. She says, I don't have a ministry. She says, I do have a life. She's transformed thousands of lives. People. She's got a ministry, but in her eyes, she said, All I have is my life. I'm just sharing the love of God that came to me. That's her testimony. I'm just freely giving what has been given to me. It's enough. And if what Christ has done for you isn't enough, then nothing will ever be enough. Do you hear me? Do you believe that? If what I haven't been healed miraculously, I haven't been delivered miraculously, but I have a little bit of a story, and I think that's going to be my chance to help others, is my story. I can't tell your story. I can't give what you have freely received. I can only give what I have freely received, but I can give that. I can maybe help some people who, like me, were locked into religious darkness and didn't have a clue. I knew about Jesus, but the fact that he wanted to come and live inside of me was a brand new revelation. And I can go to people and say, the kingdom of God is here, because it's right here. It's right here in fullness. Let the word of God speak to you. Freely you have received. Come on, just freely give. That's all. And he called 72. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 7, 8, 9, 60, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It's probably closer to 80, 85. But just look around you for a moment. Just look around you at the story. Some of you, you don't know everybody's story. Some of you know each other's, and we're starting to share a little bit, see? And you're getting to know people. That's why you want to share. But there's 80 different stories in here. Charles and I talk a little bit. He doesn't like to stand up and talk, but he's been shot and tried to be killed. He said, I ought to be dead probably at least 3 times. The kingdom of God is in him and near. God's given him a story. Tony shared hers last week, delivered from cancer. Brother Jim, delivered from cancer. But I can't tell his story. I can tell about it, but I can't tell it the way he can, because it was just freely given to him. And that's all he needs. He doesn't need a ministry. He doesn't need a business card. He just has a story that's been freely given to him. So what's been given to you that you can just freely give, okay? And as you go, just as you go, I don't know what the culture was. I don't know how to make this culturally relevant the way it happened then. It's a different world, different time. But I think we can take these principles as you go, just as you go to work, just as you go to the classroom, just as you go to the store, as you go to the market, freely you have received, freely give.